Steve, why don't you open us in a word of prayer? Would you do that?
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together in your name today, Father. Father, thank you for calling us here. Heavenly Father, we just want to usher in your presence today. Father, it's all about you.
Amen.
It's not about us. Heavenly Father, open our hearts for what you have prepared for us today. Father, speak through our ears clearly so that we can hear. Father, give us wisdom to understand what you're telling us. Father, we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want you to look at the title this morning and kind of ask yourself or ponder the question, how you run in life determines your distance. I want you to think about that. How did you run in 2017? Did you reach the distance that you thought you were going to, or did you fall a little bit short? Yep. How we run truly determines the distance in our spiritual lives and, candidly, in our physical lives. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Run with Horses, writes this. He says, the puzzle is why so many people live so badly. Not so wickedly, but insanely. Not so cruelly, but stupidly. He says, there is little to admire and less to imitate in the people who are prominent in our culture. We have celebrities, but no saints. Famous entertainers amuse a nation of bored insomniacs. Infamous criminals act out the aggressions of timid conformists. Petulant and spoiled athletes play games vicariously for lazy and apathetic spectators. People, aimless and bored, amuse themselves with trivia and trash, and neither the adventure of goodness nor the pursuit of righteousness gets the headlines. If I ask you when that was written, some of y'all would probably say that was written pretty recent. But in all honesty, that was written before reality TV. That was written before Trump took office. That was written before the NFL took their knee. That was actually written 34 years ago. And one of the things about that statement, if you compare that statement to where we live today, and the society that we're living in today, you'd have to admit that there's very little difference between then and now. And if I would vote to go, well, I even think we have digressed some over the last 34 years just because of the mindset today of society. You know, you listen to the politicians no matter what side they're on, and you're like, Where did that come from? You know, no one wants to work together anymore. Everyone's wrong, and it's just a crazy place that we live in today. The day after Christmas, Pam got pretty ill, and our furnace went out in our house. So she's all snuggled up like a bug in a rug with the dog in the bed. And it was late at night, so I made the decision that I would turn on the fireplace. I got my blankie. There was no lights at all. And I pulled out my iPad, and I began to read. And in the midst of the warmth of that fire, God gave to me what I honestly believe was an epiphany. An epiphany is truly like a divine statement from God. It's something that God wants you to know about. And I went, wow, this was so awesome. So turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. Just for information, it's page 787 in my Bible. Now, on the board is the Amplified, but let me read to you from my Bible, which is the New Living Translation, and it says this: if you have raced with men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Now let me read to you from the Amplified that's on the screen. If you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace where you feel secure, then how will you do among the lions in the flooded thicket beside the Jordan? I sat there and went, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? And you know, I look back at my own personal ministry, and I know there are some in the room today that are contemplating going into ministry, but in all honesty, the Bible says we're all called to be ministers of Jesus Christ. But one of the things that I remember in my ministry is that from the very conception, which now is 23 years, the very first time that I went and told my pastor that I felt that God had called me to preach, the statement was, a man like you. Now you know where that goes when anybody says a man like you. Well, a man like me who was truly a piece of trash, a man like me who came from a busted family, a man like me who was an alcoholic, a man like me, the statement was, could never go into the ministry. But you see, it's not what man calls us to do, it's what God calls us to do. In my ministry, I have had so many people look at the things that I felt that God wanted us to do, and they would say, it just won't happen. And I'm here to tell you, with God, with man, they're 100% correct. With man, it is always impossible, but when you add God to the picture, it's always possible. I've had men in my life that would come and look at all of my weaknesses versus looking at my strengths. They would all tell me the things that I've done wrong versus the things that I've done right. And my God says, here's what I want you to do, Keith, in the darkness of the night. He said, if you can't run with the horses, stop running with men. Because if a man makes you tired, how much more tired are you going to be if I put you with the horses? In the midst of that night, God said, Keith, I want you to begin to start focusing on my promises and not men's problems. Everybody in this room, I don't care who you are, you're going through a challenge today. And the younger guys here that are really getting tugged into where God wants you to go, I'm telling you that men will go, you know, Scooter, you always were, you always will, and it ain't going to happen. And if you buy into the lie, it ain't going to happen. But see, we need to sit down from Jeremiah 5 to go, I am not going to run with man no more. I'm going to run with the horses. And what we're going to have to do, and hear this, and hear me loud, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes. There's going to come a time in 2018 where you're going to have to cut the tie. Because when people come against you and all they talk is negativity, and all they do is tell you what you can't do, and all they do is talk about the problems and they never offer a solution, those are the people that you need to go, I love you and I care for you, but I ain't hanging with you no more. You know, when you want to talk, we'll talk, but there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and I am tired of listening to your negativity because I have a God that says I can. Man might say I can't, But I'm not worshiping man. I'm not running with man no more. I'm going to saddle me a horse. I'm going to find me a different gate. I'm going to get me a different path. And I'm going to leave you alone. And I'm going to go where God wants me to go. Amen. Now, look at, if you would, Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And look at verse 11. Now, this is a story about Gideon. There's a lot of Gideons in this room. The angel of the Lord came, sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I got to tell you, verse 13 is right where we are. Gideon goes, pardon me, Lord, but if the Lord is with me, how come my life is in such a mess? And there's a lot of us in this room today that God would say, you are a child of the Most High God. Amen. You are sanctified and justified. And you're going to go, well, Lord, I appreciate all that. But if I'm so special, how come my life is in such a mess? Now look at what he says. He says, But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in your own strength and save Israel out of Midian's hands. And then he says, am I not sending you? And then he goes, pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. Now, the Lord is asking Gideon, he is preparing Gideon to do something great. We've talked about this before. Everybody in this room is going to burst something if you allow God to work through you in 2018. You are going to birth a miracle for the kingdom's good. Don't know what it is. God does. So Gideon sits over there, and he begins to listen, and God tells him, he says, you're a mighty guy. And he says, well, that's great, but if I'm so mighty, how come my life is messed up? And then he sits down and he tells Gideon, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to go in your strength. See, a lot of us are going to sit here and go, ooh, I can't do that. You know, the Lord said, I'm not asking you to do anything. Just go in the strength that you got. Just what you got. And then he says, am I not the one sending you? Now, if the Lord calls, we talked last week, if the Lord calls, he doesn't call the equipped, he equips those that he calls. It's not about you in regards to your strength, okay? Now, go down to verse 24. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, called it the Lord is Peace, stands there to this day. The same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd. That better be the Lord's calling if you're going to do this, let me tell you. Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took, the Bible says, 10 of his servants, did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night. rather than in the daytime. In the morning when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished with the Ashtaroth pole beside it cut down, the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? And when they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Ashtaroth pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend with him. Now all the Midianites and the other eastern people joined forces, crossed the Jordan, camped in the valley of Jezreel. And then it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Okay? Let me give you the rest of the story. Gideon is asked by God to do something great. God tells him, you are a mighty warrior. Now, I'm here to tell you that if God was in this room today, he would tell everyone here, you're a mighty warrior. You are a child of God. You're an heir of Abraham. You're an heir according to the promises of Abraham that I have given him. You are everything that the promises tell you that you are. And I promise you, we like Gideon would go, well, if this is so great, how come my life is in such a mess that it currently is? God tells him, go in the strength that you got. And he goes, act of obedience. Now, he's told to tear everything down. He does it, but when does he do it? At night, a little scared. He's scared because he doesn't want people to see us. And that's the same thing that we do in worship. See, this is an act of worship. That what God is asking Gideon to do is tear it down, sacrifice to me. But we have a problem in worship today. We don't want to raise our hands because we're afraid that someone might see us. We don't want to sing loud because we're afraid someone might hear us. We don't want to do those things. So we try to hide it. And if we're going to go forward in 2:18, don't hide your worship ever again. You and I need to get absolutely 100% ignorant when we worship God. We need to get excited for God. We need to dance down the aisles. We need to say hallelujah and amen. We need to lift our voices high to God because he deserves everything, because he has given us 2017 and he's taken us into 2018. Gosh, we got an awesome God. So Gideon does what God asked him to do. He's going to go fight the war. And then he gets 10,000 guys. Now that would be wise to me. I want all the guys that I could get to go fight with me. God looks at the 10,000 guys and he goes, hey, wait a minute. He says, we really don't need that many people, because if you take all those and you win, then they're going to think you did it and not me. So he says, let's chisel them down a little bit. So he cut them down. And then Morgan, we're standing there, and God goes, nope, that's too many. You got too many. Let's cut them down again. Now then God asks him to do something that makes no sense, but God doesn't have to make sense. He said, take all the people down and to the watering hole. Those that drink water normal, send them home. Those that want to lick water like a dog, keep them. Now me, I'd be licking water like a dog. I'm sending you home. I'm going to keep the normal people, okay? But God says, no, man, if they're drinking water like normal people, send them home. I want the dogs to come with me. They all had candles in a clay pot. And when God sent them down, they broke the pots. Everybody had a handle. Everybody went nuts, and they defeated them. But they defeated them this way. Turn your Bible. We looked before. Look at Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Y'all got her? Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, "This is the word the Lord of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." See, when we go into battle in 2018, it's not by our might, it's not by our force, it is not by our power, it is all because of the Spirit of the Lord. The only reason that Gideon could have won that battle is because the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him. And when the Spirit's on you, like the Bible says, greater is he that's in us today than he that's in the world. Amen. With man, it might be impossible, but with God, it's always possible. Now look at 1 Samuel, if you would. 1 Samuel 16, and actually go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel 15 and then verse 10. And give me an amen when you're there. Boy, you always got it, man, eh? You're just good. You got one of them Bibles that turn the pages by themselves, right?
Wish.
All right. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Then go down to verse 35. Until that the day Samuel died, he did not see Saul again. Then chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king? Fill your horn with oil. Be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Okay? Now go down to verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw one of Jesse's sons. The Bible says, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the scripture says, but God looks at the heart." Then Jesse called his other sons to pass by. And you got to put yourself there. You know, Jesse's excited. One of his sons is going to be king. They pass the one son by, and nope, that's not it. Pass the other son by, nope, that's not the one either. Pass the other one by, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And then finally, Samuel says, "You got any more kids anywhere?" But look at what he does. Look at verse 11. So he asked Jesse, "Are all these the sons that you have?" And then Jesse says, "There is still the youngest. He's tending sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him." And then they said, "We will not sit till he gets there." That ought to kind of give you an idea of who this boy is. So he sent for him, had him brought in. He was glowing with health, had a fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully. Now you know the rest of the stories with David. I mean, David was the one that fought Goliath. And I'm telling you, without the Spirit of the Lord being upon David, he couldn't do it. And I'm telling us, we can't fight the battles that God wants us to fight through our might or through our strength. There has to be the Spirit of the Lord fall upon us. That's the key to our success. Now, church, here's where I really want y'all to think. If you would, turn to Mark 16. Now, I believe that everyone in this room has a divine connection with God, and I believe that everybody here has a divine mandate with God. You are special, and God's got something that He wants you to birth in 2018. The key here is, are you willing to do it? The key here is, are you willing to go just in the strength that you have? Okay? Gideon goes, who am I? I come from the smallest clan. I'm the least of the least. And who did they pick? The youngest kid in the clan of Jesse. So again, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those that He calls. And you and I've got to just go, I'm willing to do what God has asked me to do. Okay? Now, look at Mark 16. And He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, verse 17. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, in Jesus' name, you and I will be able to cast out demons. We will be able to speak with a new tongue. We will pick up serpents and they will not hurt us. And it says we will lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. Here's a couple things I want you to think about this divine connection and divine mandate. Do you understand that you have a divine purpose in this room? Now, I know you guys woke up today. Y'all drove to church. Some of y'all going, boy, that bed was good and I wish I'd have stayed home. But I want you to understand that you have a divine purpose, and that purpose is this, that you have been called by God to be His ambassador. Now, I got to tell you, when I say that you've been called by God to be His ambassador, whoop, I'm telling you, we're going to walk around in 2018. We're going to walk different than we have ever walked before. We're going to hold our head up high. And when I walk into a restaurant, when I walk into the hospitals, when I walk into the grocery store, I am an ambassador of the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of all lords. Me, an ambassador to the Lord. See, you look at people today walking in a grocery store, they're like this. You look at people eating dinner. The other day, Pam and I went out to eat dinner. The husband and wife ain't even talking. They're looking on their phone. You're like, well, how was dinner? It was great. How was the conversation? Didn't have one. But church, I want you to begin to think about this. What the world has to offer is temporary. As an ambassador to the Lord with the boldness of a child of God, we can go into a workplace today and talk to somebody and go, I know that you're hurting, but what I got for you, His name is Jesus. Amen. And we can offer hope. We can offer forgiveness. We can offer love. And we can offer eternal life and grace and mercy. We can offer so much that the world cannot. But unless you understand who you are and understand your divine purpose, you're going to act just like the world. The second thing, church, that we have, and I love this, is that we have divine power. Acts 1:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, whew, it says that you will have a miraculous power. Now, this ain't miraculous power to go show yourself off. This is a miraculous power to be a witness to the Lord. So when you go in, you go, I'm really nothing, to go, yeah, I am. I'm an ambassador of God, and I am filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to be a witness to Him so that people can see the power of God. Not by force and not by might, but by the Spirit of God. You and I have been given authority. And church, the other thing that's so important is that we've been given the armor of God. One of y'all said this the other day, and I don't know who said it, and I've never thought about it. When you read the scripture, it says, put on the full armor of God. You will never see any place in scripture where it says, take it off. The Bible says, just put it on. And the problem with us is we put it on, we get home, we take it off. And when you go to work the next day, you forgot some of it. We need to learn how to put it on, keep it on, and work in the divine power that God has given us. Here's the other one, and boy, I'm telling you, man, it was a push this morning. But do you know that we also have divine communication? Now, I want you to think about this today, everybody here. If you're an ambassador of the Lord and you have divine power, well, there's going to be a point in time that you need to talk to Daddy. To go, Daddy, I don't understand what you're doing. You call me a great and mighty warrior, but things ain't going too good right now. And because of Jesus Christ, church, you have righteousness. That means that I have a right standing right here to stand and be in the presence of Almighty God. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody's permission. I don't care what man says. I don't care how bad I've been. I've been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. I am as white as white can be. And I got the right to walk into my daddy's house and talk to my dad. But here's the other thing. And boy, I sat in front of the warmth of that fireplace and I'm like, ooh, Lord, I don't know about this one. Do you know that you have been given, church, the opportunity to choose a language that only you can speak to your daddy? Just you. Just you. I mean, how awesome is it that my daddy wants to talk to me, but also that he and I got a private language that he and I can just sit and talk? Me talk to daddy, daddy talk to me. Me talk to daddy, daddy talk to me. Sometimes it's me talking to daddy and I don't give daddy enough time to talk back, okay? Because it's just the way it is. But how awesome is it? Not only do you have the right to talk, but God has given you a private language just between you and Him. But it gets even better. You have a mediator when you mess up that sits up there and he goes, you know, boy, yeah, Corey, Father, we spent a lot of time talking about Corey. And Peter goes, oh, Lord, here we go again. But every time he messes up, the mediator's up there going, Lord, don't forget, he's accepted me as the Lord. It's all going to be okay. Amen. Lord says, that's right. And then the other thing is an advocate. We've got someone that stands in our place. And then if it gets even better, when life hits us and knocks us down, we have an intercessor. We have the Holy Ghost that will stand up there for us in the midst of all of our moans and our groans and our nonsense and go, Father, this is what they're trying to say. And He speaks for us. So you've got a divine purpose. You've got divine power. You've got divine communication. You and I have got divine protection. Turn your Bible to Psalms 91. And I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but I read this almost every day. Psalms 91. Give me an amen when you're there. Corey, you're the first one again. I just can't help myself, right? All right, Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Stop right there. He who dwells. Okay? The word, don't you hate it when that happens? I preached a sermon at our funeral the other day, and somebody's phone went off, and it was the same ring of mine, and I was like, oh, Lord, please don't let that be my phone. And it wasn't, thank goodness. But it says, he who dwells. Here's the key. The word is dwell. Dwell doesn't mean that you're just passing through. Dwell means that you're going to set up habitation. Okay, ladies, here's what it means. I mean, y'all go on a vacation, y'all have one sack of clothes and four packages of makeup, okay? That is where it is. You know, you got to pay an extra $100 to put it on the plane that y'all carry so much makeup with you, all right? So the idea here is that if you're going to set up habitation, you're taking everything with you. And guys, we're going to take our shaving cream. We're going to take our toothbrush and razor. And it's amazing how many wears you can get out of one pair of underwear, okay? You can turn them inside out, man, 4 days' time. I mean, there it is. You know, there it is. Might not have gotten close to anybody, but you know. But in all seriousness, it means set up habitation, plan to stay. And we don't do that, church. We get in and we leave. We get in and we leave. And God says, no, stay right here. And this is why. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror by night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command, he ain't asking, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion, the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, protect him, for he has acknowledged my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. And the last thing, church, is that we have a divine healing. Psychologists, psychiatrists, and nurses will tell us that the human touch has healing properties. And when we lay our hands on someone else, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, our lives can be used as a witness for the power of God. Now, here's how I want to close with this. If I look at my life in 2017, if I look at the Christian's life in 2017, here's what I think the problem is that we've lost our hunger. And we need to get it back. You know, Matthew 19:26 says, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God things are always possible. You know, we said years ago that something had to change in church. We would come to church. We would speak about the mighty power of God, but we would leave and we would never see it. We would talk about God's healing hands, but we would never see them. We would talk about all the mighty things that God has done, but we would never see it. And it wasn't God, it was us. And the problem is that we've never allowed the Spirit of the Lord to fall upon us because we're wanting to do things in our strength and not His. So here's how I'm going to make every attempt to live in 2018. First of all, I never want God to look at me as He did Saul and say, I regret that I made Pastor Keith the pastor of that church. I can't imagine how Saul felt. And I don't ever, ever want that to happen. The other thing that I don't want to happen for me is I will make every attempt this year. And I said it in the first service, and I've got a lot of friends, but some of them are extremely negative. But I will never, ever allow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to ever get into a place where I, like Saul, told Samuel, I've sinned because I listened more to man than I listened to God. He said, I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. I want the strength as I go into 2018. If God says, I go, God, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. The other thing that's important for me is this, that I want to live every day going, you know, I know that with me it's impossible, but I also know with God that it's always impossible. And fourth, to run with horses, I'm going to have to change my gait. And I'm truly going to have to change my path. And I'm sure along the way, not meaning to, but I'm going to hurt some feelings. Because here's what I'm going to do. If someone can't look at my strengths and always sees my weaknesses, I'm not going to hang around them. If someone always wants to talk about the problem and not give me the solution, I'm not going to hang around them. If someone wants to talk negativity in my life day after day and not speak anything positive, I'm not going to hang around them because I'm not going to let them bring me down. I said at the very beginning about all the challenges that I had, but there was a point in my ministry where I was belittled, betrayed, and beaten down to the place that I wanted to give up. And I had a God that came over and picked me up and dusted me off and said, Keith, it's going to be okay. He said, I promise you I'd never leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. So let's just come on and let's go get it done together. And church, here's the last thing that I want to make sure that I do. I want to obey God so that the Spirit of the Lord will fall mightily upon me. I want God to look at Keith to go, I can give that task to Keith because I know it's going to work. You know, we talk about the building. I don't know how it's going to get done, but here's what I do know. It is. And this is how come I know, because God told me so. God said to go build the building, Keith, and I'm going to build that building. I'm not, but God is. Don't know how He's going to do it. And it doesn't make any difference how He does it. I just know that He is. Church, how you run in 2018 is going to determine your distance. And here's what I want you guys to think about as you leave today. You got two options. You can run with man, and I promise you, He's going to tire you out. You can run with God, and God's going to make you victorious. But my prayer for all of us in this room is at the end of 2018 that God never looks back at you and me and says, I regret that I've asked them to do this because they didn't do what I've asked them to do. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen.